So we were discussing the Gemara here on base on base, the different proofs about whether or not Hezekiah Shmar Loshma Hezek. And I think we were, we ended up discussing the issue of Nafal Shiny, which means the Gemara tried to bring a proof from a case where in a chatzer there was a wall, and the wall fell down, and the Gemara speaks of the obligation to rebuild the wall. And the Gemara says, well, Nafal Shiny, that it's different if there is a wall and then it somehow collapses. So then the obligation would be to rebuild it. However, in a situation where there is no wall, that doesn't mean that there's an obligation to initiate one. So the question is, what is the difference between those two things? That's the Gemara here towards the middle on base on base. We're going to move quickly to the next case. But before, just to remind everybody of one point, the Gemara says, Toshma, kosel chatzah shenafal, the wall of the chatzah that fell down, b'chayvinos olivnos ad dalet amos. You're obligated to build it up to the height of 4 amos. So the Gemara says, you see from there that this is an actionable offense. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the obligation to rebuild it. Says the Gemara, nafal shiny. If there's a wall, then if it falls, you have to rebuild it. But if there's no wall, you're not obligated to build one. So the question is why? I mean, what's the difference between... The only reason you have to build up a wall, it seems, is because of the problem of privacy. So if privacy doesn't require a wall, why does the, collapse of a wall require rebuilding? There's no obligation of privacy in this venue of a courtyard. So what do we mean when we say Nafal Shiny? So what we discussed last week is that there are really two different perspectives. One is the perspective of Rashi, who says that Nafal Shiny means that this is an extension of the original Hischaivus. Shekvar Nisratu Harishonim Bakosel. Sounds like what Rashi is saying is that part of the original agreement to build a wall is to maintain the wall. That's not at all obvious. People can, agree about a brick and mortar project. It doesn't necessarily imply that they also commit to, its sustainment, throughout. It could be it's a one-shot deal and nothing more. So how does Rashi assume, Rashi for the Gemara, assume that, this obligation to build a, particular project turns into like a policy? And that's number one. Then the Gemara also says, going quote, next line of the Gemara, "Ud korile my korile," which means the Gemara says, oh, this is such a terrific answer, Nafal Shiny. It's such a good answer that it's even hard to understand what the question was. Obviously, Nafal Shiny. So the Gemara says, Seifa Itzrichale. So again, that also remains difficult, even more difficult, because we just point out it's not even, the Nafal Shiny answer isn't so obvious. So not if it's not so obvious, then the question of why do we think of it earlier, is even less compelling a question. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Seifa Itzrichale Midalet Amos. So the Gemara says, the Chiddush of this Braisa is to teach you that if two people agreed to build a wall and it wasn't Dalet Amos high, they agreed to build a 6 Amos high wall, and then it fell, that they're obligated to rebuild it, but only up to 4 Amos, not 6 Amos. So that's why it's a Chiddush to say Nafal Shiny. Right? Because the Chiddush isn't to tell you that you have to rebuild it. Chiddush is that you only have to rebuild it till Dalet Amos. But according to Rashi, it's even more tamua, because according to Rashi, it's like, we're going to sustain. The commitment isn't to do the project. The commitment is to sustain the impact of the project. Meaning we built something which was 6 Amos high. So why shouldn't we be obligated to maintain the 6 Amos? So Rabbeinu Gershom, when he also holds like Rashi here, says, Udakari my karile, hamakshe, sheyamakshe, kushizio my makshele, the chiloya yodea decha de nafal shiny, maralis glahakshosa, mishani li olam mishim kusha Maisina la mishum dechazi b'seifa itzrich lemisne b'loshim kusha. Dektani seifa midalad amos olamala ein mechayvinos olivnos gavoa kedemikar. You're not obligated to build it back to the same height that it was previously. Alma shmamina mishum hezek riyahu u'mishum hachi ein mechayvin ela kashir she'eni yachaliros. Yeah. So what Rebbeinu Gershom basically is saying, something very, very interesting. And that is, even though there's no obligation, according to this day in the Gemara, we don't pask in this way. This day in the Gemara says, Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek. That means objectively, you're not obligated to secure the other fellow's privacy in a chatzer. However, if there's a commitment to build a wall, then that is a commitment that transcends the project. Now, as we committed to build a brick and mortar, an actual wall, and let's say we built it to 6 amos. So the chiddush is that even though the agreement really focuses initially on the brick and mortar wall, in the end of the day, right, legally, this translates into, you know what, we're not obligated to secure each other's privacy, but we're going to commit to it. The commitment isn't to the building project. The commitment is to the value project. It's to the result, to the effect. And since that's the case, two things happen. Number one, if the wall falls down, you have to build it up because they committed to a reality of privacy security. But you don't have to build it up the way it was because it's not the brick and mortar wall. It's the concept. And the concept is a Dalet Amos concept. So even if you happen to build it bigger, for the same reason we don't limit your obligation to the brick and mortar wall, for that very same reason, we don't care that the brick and mortar wall is not being replaced according to its height either. What we care about, as I say, is the value program of the extra commitment to secure each other's privacy. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. However, Bali Tosas read differently. Just one more second. Tosas says, Nafal Shaini, Shehur Gilulasos Dover Hatsnea Bechatzer. Tosis has a different view. Like Rashi and like Rebbeinu Gershom, Tosis thinks this has to do with privacy. But Tosis thinks that it's not the initial commitment which demands the rebuilding of the fallen wall. It's the new reality that takes place as a result of that initial project. In other words, they agreed to build a wall. That's a brick and mortar agreement. Maybe it doesn't transcend the actual wall itself. But the consequence of that building of the wall is that they have turned their properties, they've transformed, you know, public properties into private properties. And once they've done that, then the expectation, right, that each one will be protected because they're now Regilin lasos dvarim sheltznius there, that takes over. So in a way, it's a totally different issue than Rashi and Rebbeinu Gershom's reading. It's not the commitment, you know, and then the limitation. It's the consequence, it's the momentum of the reality that they're separated, which itself redefines, right, how we look at private and public places, and by extends the din, even if Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, that's because, you know, it's not a makom shel tznius. But once you turn it into a makom shel tznius, that changes the reality. The chiddush of Tosas is that the expectation of being able to do whatever you want in a place is halachically significant. And that there's a flexibility, there's like a default halachic view about what places do and don't require walls, but that there is also flexibility and that can change depending on how people themselves operate. And of course, that goes back to the bigger topic that we discussed last week. Let's say I have a makom shenagu, which is more machmir, or a makom shenagu, which is more mekel, you know, etc. Does that change how you look at the venue itself? Okay, so that's the Gemara of Nefilah Shiny. It's a very fascinating Gemara. Rishonim have a lot to say about it, and so on. But again, the idea that if it was a 6 foot, six amma wall, you'd only have to build it up to four, of course, is the case, because that all we care about is the result of privacy. Did somebody have a question? Yeah. No?
Yes, right. Yes, I have a question. Number one, what happens if we're talking about two new parties?
Yeah.
That were not the original agreeers to this wall. Maybe both of one or both purchased it from the original builder.
So it does, right. So maybe that would be a great nafkamina between Rashi, Rabbi Gershom on one side and Tosis on the other. Now, let's say we didn't build the wall, right? But we purchased, the chatzeros.
Right.
So in terms of Tosis Hurgalu, I think it's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference. But in terms of Rashi, is this part of the original commitment? It wasn't their commitment.
I have one more comment. Last week, I maintained that I didn't see such a big difference between Rashi and Tosis. And of course, you responded with what your response. So I happen to be, I open up the Mei Menuchos, your father-in-law's professor of Talmud at the Yeshiva Flatbush on Baba Basra.
That's hitting low.
And he has a footnote, Mei Menuchos, on this Tosis.
Yeah.
He says, Lama Dochim Tosis is Peirush Rashi. Ayin B'mar Ramu B'mar Shoah. B'chein B'chazon Isha Baba Basra Siman Alish. Shel Dochas Divrei HaMar Shoah U'mochiach. So if you want to, I have the Tanya the Messiah. If you want to look up the Chazon Ish.
It sounds like the Chazon Ish is agreeing that the Maram and the Marsha don't agree with that.
Well, he says he's Mochiach, Shadivya Rashi Vatosus Echot Heim. Not a big difference between Rashi and Tosus.
The Chazon Ish says that.
Yeah, the Chazon Ish says that.
Yeah, and the Chazon Ish is arguing with the Marsha and the Maram, but who are also arguing with the Rishonim that are quoted in the Shita B'Kubetzos, all of whom also assume that there is an argument. So I don't know whether I said that nobody in the world holds that way. Yeah, if I did, then you definitely corrected me. But if you want to know whether I interpreted Rashi and Tosfos that way, and whether the Rishonim and the Marsha and the Maram interpreted that way, so then,
it might be interesting to see the argument of the Chazon Ish. I didn't look up the Chazon Ish.
Okay. Well, because it doesn't have the emotional power of trying to, neutralize me with my family members. Okay.
So Rabbi Rabinowitz, according to Rashi, when they agreed to build the wall, was it for the purpose of sinner?
Sounds like it.
So that's completely different than Tosfos. They could have built the wall according to Tosfos for a completely unrelated reason, but that's
sure,
just
sure. That's true. That's another nafkamina, correct?
And one other question. Yeah. I'm just last week you indicated that if they agreed to build a wall specifically of six amos, let's say, it would be enforced. In other words, are you saying now that if they agreed to build a wall of six amos,
I was saying that according to Rashi, right? I mean, I was saying if it's a din in the commitment. So the question is, but then if that were the case, I'm not sure whether Nafal would be included either. But I do agree. I think that according to Rashi, even though the it depends how you formulate the commitment, I do think that's true.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you. Okay. So let's look at the next case. That's a really interesting case. And the fact that it stirred so much discussion proves that it's an interesting case. Okay. Next case is also interesting. Maybe even more. Toshma. So this is trying to make a raya from the Mishnah later on, which says, Kofinos olivnos beishar, videles lechatzer. Okay, so there's an obligation. We force the members of a community, let's say it's a gated community. So we force them, we compel them to collect money to build a base shahr, a gatehouse, right? And an adelas lechatzer, and, you know, an opening, right, for a chatzer, for a courtyard. And the question is, how would we do that if Hezek Rialosh Mahesk? That's the question. So, interestingly, the Gemara says, again, so that's the Gemara's question. Shma mina, Hezek Ria Shma Hezek. So the Gemara, the answer here is very fascinating. The Gemara says, Hezekah derabim shiny. Hezekah derabim is different. What do you mean, Hezekah derabim? Because here the threat comes, you know, not from your individual neighbor, but from the entirety of Rosh Hashanah. Now, as you're talking about a gated community and the obligation, the fellow obligations, in other words, of your fellow gated community citizens, right, to protect each other from the onslaught of the public. So the Gemara says, Hezekah derabim shiny. Now that, of course, is a very interesting idea in its own right. Rashi explains, Shekol b'nei Rosh Hasharabim mistaklin sham. Like, in the end of the day, who really cares who's watching you? Whether it's your neighbor, does it matter if it's your neighbor or it's the entire world? Here the Gemara says yes. And that's totally, it didn't have to be that way, but it's totally understandable. Right, when it comes, because it's not just what is exposed, it's the very notion, this is what I've been trying to explain also, it's a quality of life thing. So I think we all can appreciate, right, that there's a hierarchy. There are permutations when it comes to this as well. What I do, you know, in the privacy of my home is one thing. What I do in my courtyard with my, whom are my next door neighbor, who I have a certain familiarity with, right? You know, he sees me in a more informal way. He knows me, etc. You know, that's also a hierarchy. Just like there's B'nai Beso, so there's Shechinim. I think it's a qualitative gap, but it's something. But B'nai Rosh Hasharabim, you know, they shouldn't be seeing me without my shtreimel and my hat or something. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is. I don't just mean what I'm wearing, obviously. Right? It's the way that, you know, you conduct yourself. If you were talking about the most private, and this I think is also important from another point of view, if you were talking about protecting from the most private kind of conduct, most personal kind of conduct, probably there's no difference between B'nai Rosh Hasharabim and a neighbor, because a neighbor shouldn't be seeing, you know, things that really require absolute tznius either. But what this again demonstrates is not only that there's a hierarchy, the reason there's a hierarchy is because privacy relates not just to specific conduct that, you know, should be off limits, but simply just to privacy. Not being on display, right? Being able to have a certain security, right? In your own Dalet Amos. And as far as that is concerned, there's a hierarchy, you know, between what happens within your home, you know, in your room at home, within the rest of your home. You dress, you act, you comport yourself, you just feel a certain level of comfort in a different way than you do, you know, in more public. And then there's the next level, right? And that's your, with your Shechinim. And then there's, you know, B'nai Rosh Hasharabim. So I think it's a really important issue for a lot of reasons. But actually it's, you know, even more important for one other reason. And that is as follows. This case of Hezek Re'ia is different than all cases that we've encountered till now. Why? all till now, we've always been discussing the obligation of the aggressor. The aggressor's obligation to the victim or the would-be victim. Would-be aggressor, would-be victim. Right? Two people share a common border, Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven, you know, is potentially, being mazik Shimon. And therefore Reuven has to contribute to a wall to make sure he doesn't do that. He's the aggressor. He has to make sure that he doesn't aggress. Doesn't do any aggression, really the way to say it. However, the case of the Beis Shaar, who's obligated to pay? The victims, the collective victims, all the people who live in the gated community are obligated to pay a tax, if you will, right, to secure each other. No one can say, I don't care about that. But none of these people are the aggressor. We're talking about the impact of Hezek from Rishus HaRabim. The B'nai Rishus HaRabim are the aggressors. Why don't we charge them? Well, that's obvious. Because we're dealing with B'nai Rishus HaRabim, there's no one to charge. Right? It's a kind of like a Mamun Shein Lem Tovim, you know? Meaning, you know, who are you going to send the bill to? So that part we understand. But why does it become the fellow victim's obligation to protect each other? How can that be a monetary levy? And the Gemara calls that Hezek, under the rubric of Hezekria. What does that mean? Oh. So I think there are two things that you could say here. One is that, and I think they're both important. One is that when the Gemara says this is a proof that Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, it doesn't mean that the Tashlumin is Tashlume Minias Hezek. It means that if Hezek Ria were Lo Shma Hezek, if it wasn't considered a Cheftza Shel Nezek, then there also wouldn't be a community obligation to help each other. The obligation to help each other isn't midin hezek re'iyah, but if there was no chalos of hezek re'iyah, shma hezek, this would not be a taxable this would not be a taxable communal obligation. That's one possibility. So Hezek Ria Shma Hezek Alo Shma Hezek isn't about the Chi of Mamon directly here. It's about Cheftza Shel Nezek, which justifies a meches, a tax. That's one possibility. But I think that there's another possibility, and that is that this really is Hezek Ria, and it's really a Chi of Menias HaHezek, and it devolves upon the person or the people who can best protect you, and they become obligated to protect you. And the reason that is the case is that because even when the mazik is protecting you, it's not really hezek. It's his obligation to protect you from the nezek. He's just the one closest to it. Let me explain. Right back in the beginning, we were discussing, Kol Marav Areach, Ein Bahem Mamish, Ein Bahem Ni'ila. This guy, he's just opening up his eyes. He's a mazik all of a sudden. Right? So it's hard to say, that he's doing anything so terrible or that it really qualifies as an act of hezek. But it might be easier to say that there's a cheftza shel nezek. Namely, there's a victim. Even if there, is more of a, it's more questionable whether there's an aggressor. Or another way to say it would be, this guy wouldn't be considered an aggressor if the other fellow weren't considered a victim. if you follow me. But really, and this is what we've been discussing all along, Hezek V'Yeshma Hezek is unique because it's really a din in Hilchos Shcheinim. It's a chi of Shcheinim. If you remember, the very beginning of the year, we talked about Bava Kama, Bava Basra, right? And why the Rambam puts this in Sefer Kinyan and in Hilchos Shcheinim and not in Sefer Nezikin and Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. And we explain, right, that this is a Nezek and a Hezek only because there is a concept of Shcheinim. Only because there is, to begin with, this sense of unity and mutual protection and, you know, identification between neighbors. Because we've raised that whole, you know, that whole principle, right, that in turn, right, engenders, you know, chefza shel nezek, when that's ignored, and maybe even maisa hezek and shemazek. But it all starts off with Hilchos Shcheinim, the obligation that neighbors have, right, to secure each other's quality of life. Oh, so if that's the case, we could totally understand the connection to Beis Shaar. Meaning, in this case, there's no way to charge, you know, the source of the Nezek. Because B'nai Rosh Hasharab, right? They're nameless, faceless. It's a phenomenon, not a person. So then what do you do? The answer is the whole thing to begin with, even when you were going to charge the neighbor, I'm sorry, the aggressor wasn't really aggression. It's only aggression because he should be, you know, protecting his neighbor. So for now, there's no aggressor, but we still turn to the neighbors and say, you know, it's a neighborhood, it's a neighborly obligation that everybody who lives, you know, in this proximity should be, their privacy should be secured. And therefore, even though it's not the mazikim who are paying, it's the fellow victims, nonetheless, the din shcheinim, in this case, is applied in that way.
Couldn't this be a continuation of, like, Nofel Shani, that Nisratzu Shneim, that when people move into a gated community, they expect more privacy? And that's why everybody at initio agreed to contribute to the Beit Shaar.
Well, but saying, well, let's say somebody doesn't. Let's say the Meirosh, they don't. The Kofen also here is a community policy. It's not a result of something, you know, that already existed.
No, because that's why Nisratzu Shneim. You know, everybody that moves in knows that they have to maintain a certain amount of...
And I'm saying that's not... Right. I'm just saying, we're saying here, it's Midin Hezek. The whole point is, the difficulty is, the Gemara is trying to prove from here that Hezek were Iyashma Hezek. Right? So when the Gemara said Nafal Shiny, they were saying, you're right, Hezek were Iyashma Hezek. But here the Gemara is in the stage of saying, isn't this Hezek were Iyashma Hezek? Because they have to pay. So it's obviously not based on some implicit or explicit agreement. Right? It's based on the principle of Hezek were Iyashma Hezek. Then the question is, yeah, but normally that refers to the Mazik, not to the fellow Nizakim, right? That's what I'm asking. So I'm suggesting two things. Number one, that it wouldn't be Nezek if it wasn't for Hezek V'Yeshma Hezek. So even though there's no Mazik and you're not paying as a Mazik, you know, there's still this obligation because it's Chafza Shel Nezek. Or even further, and that is that even the Mazik typically pays the Torah Shcheinim. So here, when there's no mazik, the shcheinim are going to be the ones to pay as well. Okay. So having said that, this ha'ara, it's a very remarkable phenomenon that the Rishonim, at least al-Atar, do not raise this point. Which point? The point that the Beis Shaar case is different than all the other cases, in that we're not talking about the aggressors paying, we're talking about fellow victims chipping in. I think it's astonishing, actually. However, the Nesivos does make mention of it, and he does so in a very interesting way. So if you look here in the Bar Mekomos, one second. The last Bar Mekomos that we have, next year we'll use other ones. On page 5, in mine it's 5. It's the last Bar Mekomos, pretty much. Everybody have that? Nesivos HaMishpat, Biurim, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, Siv Katan Aleph. Everybody have it? Okay, great. So listen to this. The Gemara, just before you look at that, just look for a minute here. The Mishnah here is on Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis says, Kofanos Olivnos Beis Shar, Videlis is the Mishnah we're quoting. Right? We compel the neighbors, right, to collect, to build a Beis Shar and a Delet, the Chatzer, and so on. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. Then if you look at the Gemara, towards the bottom, the Gemara raises the following question. Boy minei Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yochanan. This is 11 or 12 lines from the bottom. Everybody have that? Boy minei Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yochanan. Kishahin Govin. Everybody have it? Lefi nefashos Govin. Odim lefi shevach mamon Govin. The amount that you levy on each neighbor, it's by the akarkafta de gavra, right? Every man equal amount. Lefi nefashos, in other words. Odim lefi shevach mamon Govin. Or according to the amount of property that you own. Another question. Maybe not lefi mamon, right? The how much, you know, property you have. Maybe it's lefi kiruv batim. How close is your home to the border? Okay, so what is this? What's going on here? The Gemara wants to know, how do you levy taxes? Sound familiar? Right, according to the property values? According to the, you know, per family or per person, per family, per person, per property value, or per benefit, you know, as measured by proximity to the border, vulnerability, in other words, et cetera. How do you figure that out? What's the algorithm or the formula? I have no idea. It doesn't really matter for the moment. Right? This is a very fascinating question. But we have it Maisim Shebechol Yom, right? Whenever it comes to levying an obligation, a tax, a contribution, right? Do you go according to the amount that you're benefiting? And how's that measured? Or, you know, a kafta de gavra. Anyways, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Samach Aleph paskins that the levy is lefi mamo. Okay. So the Nesiva says an amazing thing. The after base shahr hu mishum hezek re'iya. The Gemara here doesn't say anything on the main Gemara, on Zayin Omid Beis, but our Gemara on Beis Omid Beis seems to say the whole purpose of this tax is to preclude Hezek Re'iya, right? So says the Gemara, our Gemara, and ubesimin kuf nun zayin sif gimel mevuar delinian hezekriya filiyesh leechad pishnayim denosim b'shava. What's the rule in hezekriya? Right? Do you pay according to, you know, person, or according to, you know, property value or benefit? Let's say a chatzer is owned in a partnership, and then you split the partnership, and Reuven has 2/3 of the partnership, and Shimon has 1/3. Now they have to build a wall. Do they build a wall shava b'shava, or 2/3 and 1/3? No, does it say anywhere? No, I mean, the Gemara about Beit Shahr asks the question. Does it go by person? Does it go by value? Does it go by proximity, which means benefit? Another way of saying benefit. Value is a benefit. Proximity is a benefit, right? By person, that's more like an obligation, right? But what's fascinating is, we'll see in a moment, the Rama raises this question on the base of an Aleph, with regard to chotzer and hezek re'iya. Again, let's say it's a 2/3 and 1/3 split. And we'll see in a moment, we'll see why in a moment, the Rama says, no, it doesn't matter. Everybody pays equally. The Tur quotes it. Tur was very quick to quote Ramas. A lot of Ramas, I mean, we have the Yad Ramam Bal Basra, that helps tremendously. But a lot of Yad Ramas are known through the Tur. Okay? Anyways, so the Tur quotes the Rama, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, according to this Rama, that when it comes to a chatzer, you pay 50-50. So the Nesiva says, I don't get it. The Beit Shahr, according to the Gemara Beis Omid Beis, that everybody contributes to, all the neighbors, is because of Hezek Re'iya. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like I'm adding the background, the Tur who paskins like the Rama, who says that when it comes to Hezek Re'iya and Chatzer, it's not Lefi Mamon, it's Lefi Anashim. It's 50-50. So that seems like a stira. That's what the Rama is saying. After Beit Shahr Mishum Hezek Re'iya, Kimavur Babas or Beis Omid Beis, to Mochiach Mikan to Hezek Re'iya Shema Hezek, Ubesimin Kufnun Zayin Siv Gimel, Mavur Dilin Hezek Re'iya, Filiyesh La'echad Pishnayim, even if one person owns double in the Chatzer, to know Sem B'Shaba. Mashma, Tzims, to Huadin, Imesh La'echad Mamon Harbe, so we have a total stira. Says the Nesivos, Ishlomar the shiny hasam, Taheziku me echad lechavero, the kalechad shame mazik alav, yala mazik laharchik atmo. The chain sark laharchik atmo, mazik al sach katan. So here's one of the Nesivas, in a very different application, but very, very important, says, you know what? The Beshar case is a different case of Hezekiah than any other case. Every other case, we're talking about the obligation of the Mazik. Here we're talking about the obligations of the Fez fellow Nizokim. So what he says is as follows. When you're talking about an obligation on the Mazikim, then everybody's equal. Why? Because it might hurt my pocketbook or my bank account more if you damage me $100 than if you damage me $5. But you have no more right to damage me $5 than you do to damage me $100. In terms of the Avera, or in terms of the prohibition, right? As anybody who's involved in damages, right? So I'm damaging you, you're damaging me. We're damaging each other. I'm damaging you $100, you're damaging me $50. We're not talking about paying the damages. We're talking about preventing the damages. I don't have any right to damage you, and you have no right to damage me. Your right, my lack of right to damage you $100 and yours to damage me $5 are the same. Everybody with me? Therefore, it doesn't matter, you know, that you own 2/3 of the chatzar and I own 1/3. The fact is that we're damaging each other, and therefore we're equally obligated to cease and desist. And the way to do that is to put 50% into the wall, each of us. However, in the case of the Beishar, we're talking about the obligation of the victims, the fellow neighbors, to protect each other. Right? But I'm not getting protection in the same way that you're getting protection if you own twice as much property, or if your property is closer to the border, and therefore the attack on your property is more acute than the attack on my property. If we're mutually paying, you know, for our collective protection, and we're not the aggressors, we're the victims, so it's kind of like a benefit, then we should spread the payments. The tax should be determined by the benefits, right? If I'm sending my children to the public school system, right, and you're not, you know, so maybe there should be different levels of taxation in support of the system, because some people are benefiting more, that people benefit more should pay more. Sound like a good argument? I don't know if anybody wants to speak about vouchers or... Yeah. Okay.
Can't that argument...
I knew that. I knew. If I, you know, it was such a vadai to me that I was going to, you know, that I was going to pull you in on that one.
I mean, it seems to me that what I can't see here, but that well, argument...
We don't drive together anymore. I've got to do something.
I miss driving you. I've been meaning to tell you that. I miss it so profoundly, but that's a different subject. But can't that be stood on its head and say that with the chaser, the guy who's being damaged more should bear more of the wall to protect himself?
Yeah, but the obligation isn't to protect himself. That would be Al-Nizak. But right. The obligation is really Al-Mazik. For example, let's say it's unilateral. Let's say I'm opening up my window into your property. You're not the one who has to pay, meaning you, the property owner. The window owner has to pay. So it would have been stood on its head if the obligation was on the Niza, but the obligation's on the Mazik. But in the case of Beit Shah, there is no Mazik. All there are Nizokin. So it's a tax. Who benefits most from the service?
Okay.
right? So the nesivus is, I think it's an amazing nesivus. So what he does in one fell swoop is he zeroes in on a very remarkable difference that kind of almost got glossed over in the Gemara completely. Namely, the obligation of hezek re'iyah when you're collecting from victims as opposed to when you're, you know, imposing obligations on the mazik. But also with a tremendous nafkamina to explain a discrepancy in nafkaminas. Namely, do you pay, you know, no matter what, the benefit and the value? Just because, he says, whenever we're talking about what you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to take $5 of mine, you're not allowed to take $100 of mine. You're just not allowed to do it. We're both not allowed to do it. It doesn't matter how much. That's different if you're talking about paying to protect a community. You could argue that when it comes to paying to protect a community or to enhance the life of a community, that there could be, right, a benefit, you know, weighted system. So now, having said that, let me go back to the bigger issue. Not the bigger issue, let's call it the issue. So I already discussed, in light of the nesivus, why is this even hezek v'yeh shmo hezek? And one of the things I was trying to build up was because either way, you know, it's a chafsa shel nezek, and maybe even more than that, it's a chiyuv shkeinim anyway. But if it's really such a chiyuv shkeinim, even in a regular case, where there seems to be a mazik, and he isn't really a mazik, is it so obvious that in general there would be an equal payment, even in the chatzar case, where there are mazikim? Meaning, if the whole chiyuv hezek re'iyah is based on an elevation of the rights of shkeinim and of the obligation, mutual obligations of shkeinim, and without that there wouldn't have been hezek re'iyah at all. So maybe you can make the case that this isn't a typical, you know, I'm mazik you, you're mazik me, we both have to, you know, make sure we don't do that equally. Because the only reason that this is considered mazik is because the quality of life, right, and the mutual obligation to promote that of each of the shkeinim, right? So then maybe you say, you know what, it's all like taxes in a way. Of course, the mazikims are the ones who are paying. But it wouldn't be hezek, and it's a different kind of hezek. It's a hezek that is kind of very intimately connected to benefits. Wow. That's a whole different perspective. So now let's look at the original psak, which comes from the Ramah, through the Tur, then through the Shulchan Aruch. And I'm going to try to show you that actually that's the argument that the Ramah is making, that it's not that way, at least not enough that way, but that the Rashash, who of course lived so many years later, centuries and centuries later, actually argues, we'll see in a moment, that in a regular case of hezek re'iyah and a chatzer, you should pay according to benefit, not according to person. Against the Shulchan Aruch. So let's look at the Yad Ramah first. I didn't bring down the Shulchan Aruch. I probably should have, but I didn't. Okay, let's look at, this is on page, in mine is page 4. It might be 5 on yours already. I'm not sure. Everybody have it? Where is it?
5 line 2.
Okay, great. So this is the Yad Ramah in the very beginning of Basra. He says, he addresses this question. It's amazing. Below Teimahani Milehecha Deshavachu Kela Adadi. Don't think that the obligation to share 50-50 in a wall so that each side right, will be able to abstain from being mazik the other in hezek re'iyah, right? Don't think, says the Rama, that that is going to be apportioned according to the value that each one has in the chatzer. When do you pay 50-50 for the wall when you have 50-50 in the chatzer? Ella, rather, even in cases where there is no even ownership, kagon. What's an example of that? Bechora pashut. Actually, very interesting. Okay. You know, not just they happen to break it up. Even better, let's say a natural, the estate, you know, the property was owned by Yaakov. And Yaakov passed away. So now the estate goes to his children. And there's a bechor. So the bechor in the chatzer gets an unequal part. He gets a bigger part. So that's what he says. Kagon bechor pashut. Let's say there are two children. So the bechor gets a double portion. Shabo lachlo travayu. So ki yoavi, maybe mokamakoso, maybe binyan, kadadi yoavi. The Rama says it doesn't make a difference. Even though each one is walking away with a different percentage of the chatzer, the bechor is getting a much bigger part, he still only has to pay 50% of the wall. Why? The high kosel kimis aved, lavlash buche lechulke, the kochad minayim is aved. The wall isn't a way of improving the properties. Ki hecha de tema kochad minayim lefumay de matile bechulke. It's brilliant, Rama. He just puts his finger directly on. As far as I know, he's the first person to bring up this question and to discuss it. But he's also giving us the perspective. Right? And right away you say, yeah, that's so right. Even if you could argue, we'll see in a moment, but the principle is so right. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, if there is a required, you know, payment, right, which is connected to the improvement of joint property. So it's a very compelling argument to say you don't pay equally. You pay according to the benefit that you get from the improvement of the property. So let's say by adding a fence, you know, aesthetically, or in terms of security, let's say from the outside, not from me, right, would be improved. Okay, but Reuven has 2/3 of the value of the property. So he's getting a 2/3 of the benefit. Shimon's getting 1/3 of the benefit. It makes sense that the taxes shouldn't be equal. But that's not what's going on in Hezek Re'iyah, is it? That's the question. The Rama's initial assumption is no, it's Reuven can't attack Shimon, and Shimon can't attack Reuven. The purpose of the wall isn't to improve the quality of life in the property, aesthetically, from outside security. It's to stop each one of them from doing aggression against the other. Daha, lavash buche mashbach. On the contrary, the fence actually is a downgrade in the value of the property because it takes up part of the property. To come a mite, bein bavira, bein bitash mishasa. Right? It takes up space. It limits the ability to work there. You know, it affects the air quality. So it's not a benefit that you could say, oh, according to the benefit, that's the payment. It's a preventative hezek. I don't have a right to damage you a third of your property, right? Any more, any less or any more than you have the right to damage 2/3, which is my property. right? Bezin is niskakin l'shava pruta, the Mishnah says in Azav. Right? And the shava pruta is as a din Torah and as a right in terms of ownership in gezel, it's no different from $1 million. I mean, I think we all agree that we'd rather lose a pruta than $1 million. But I'm talking about in terms of, as an avera, you don't have any right to take away my shava pruta any more than you have a right to take away my $1 million. Ela ki misaved l'sluke has the kriya me'adadi hu misaved. The fence isn't adding value and benefit to the property. The fence is neutralizing and negating mutual damage. The kivit travai bahadi, I'm sorry, bahayazeka kadadi ninu. As far as mazik is concerned, they're equal. The travayu mazki hadadi. Each one is being mazik the other one. Umechayvi kadadi. The sluke hezik reiya mehadadi, and they're equally obligated to cease and desist. In other words, from this aggression. Whether it's $1,000 aggression or $100 aggression, whether it's a 2/3 property aggression or a 1/3 aggression, each one is obligated to stop. They're equally obligated. Dina hu diyavi kadadi. Therefore, it makes sense that they pay the same. Umasisa namidaika. It sounds this way in the Mishnah too. The kapasik v'tani bonim akesel be'emtza. The Mishnah just says, when they break up a partnership, you split the place and you split the expenses. It's not so crazy to think that sometimes when you split a partnership, that it's not 50-50, either because it's, a Yerusha and there's a Bechor, or just the way that they agreed to split it. They don't always agree to split it 50-50. How come the Mishnah doesn't make any contingency for that? The answer is because it doesn't matter. The Seifanami diktani lefikach im nafala kosa amakom avonim shel shneim v'stamakoy. The Mishnah also in the second part, which talks about where the fall of the stones are and how much you have to pay, also doesn't specify that it's a 50-50 case. The lo yadin and hechapali, the yadin amay lefikach, elav mistama, kiva de mikara matzu lemikvei adadi. Since initially they can force each other to build a wall, lemehava mokum ba'avonim mishal shneim hashtanami denafal. Now that it fell, mistama mokum ba'avonim mishal shneim. Yisol kadai lech mikara kol chab minayu lefum chukehu diyayu. If the idea was that each person pays according to his, percentage. How would you ever know? Right, if you build it in the middle and he ended up paying more, it's not fair. In addition to everything else, even if the kosel didn't fall down, and we found out the amount that they gave. The chitem of the mishtamish be pashut tulsa b'chor trei tulsa mati pashut lemeim anas shir ma'idat tzarich nabin. You get the basic idea. Okay, so what's fascinating is, so this is the Rama, who, based on the svara, came to the conclusion that the binyan akosel is an equal project, even if the value in the chatzer, for whatever reason, is unequal. The Tur quoted it. The Shulchan Aruch paskende, and ad kedei kak, that the nesivas thought he had a stira to the Beis Shaar case, where it goes lafi mamono, and came up with that brilliant answer about the difference between the aggressors and the community. However, in light of all that, now look at the Rashash. The Rashash, on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, says, B'mishnah bonin, es hakol be'emtza, but you build in the middle. Zeh nosen gimel tvachim, zeh nosen gimel tvachim, says, l'chora hakanami, d'zeh eno ala kishokol keyem, shavim. Rashi says, in my opinion, this Mishnah only makes sense when they have equal portions in the field. But if it's unequal portions, then each one contributes to the wall, positioning wise, and the value of the stones and the workmanship, according to his percentage value. The Doma Laha, he actually says, I mean, he probably may have seen them, probably saw them as seen this. Doma Laha de Lekaman, de Govin Lefi Mamon. Just like the Sugya and Zionwood base, when it talks about the Beis Shaar, says we levy a tax on the gated community neighbors, and it goes according to Lefi Mamono. Not Lefi, you know, Inshi. Right? It says be'emsa here because we're talking about, you know, the classic case where they split it in the middle. Saying, but the truth is, he says, my conclusion here, which I'm very happy about, confident about, it's counter to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch. Bal Raya Sagra, the Gra brings proofs. Sham, Omrani Arvacha Arvatsarich, which is a cute way of saying your guarantor needs a guarantor, meaning the proofs are already premised on the conclusion. That's what the Rosh Hashanah is saying. The grub brings rayas that don't really prove anything unless you already agree with the conclusion. Right? You have to see what he wrote there. So, very interesting. But what is the Rosh Hashanah? We understand the Gemara on Zionwood base, but like the Nesiva says, maybe that's a different situation because you're collecting from the victims, not from the aggressors. So what does the Rosh Hashanah do with the argument of the Rama, which is we're not talking about improving, you know, an improvement that is going to be calculated, you know, lefi, you know, the benefit. We're talking about the obligation of each individual to cease and desist from disrupting the life of the other party. And that's not something that you measure in terms of how much. What about that argument? So what I would say is, if the whole yesod of hezek re'iyah, and it is a form of hezek, but it's only hezek because of hilchoshkeinim. It's really about the mutual acknowledgement, right, of the right to privacy as a quality of life, inalienable benefit. So while that turns into hezek and hezek re'iyah and to some sort of an act of mazik on behalf of the roeh, all that is true. But because the foundation of it is, and that's why it's in Hilchos Shekeinim, I think the Rosh Hashanah has a leg to stand on. Again, the Shulchan Aruch paskens differently. But at least I can understand what the Rashi, he'll say, yeah, it really is a benefit. What do you mean it's a benefit? It's just the prevention of a nezek. The prevention of this particular nezek itself is a quality of life benefit. It's not that kind of nezek. And therefore, maybe we treat it differently. And maybe that's why the transition to Beit Shar, even though we're not talking about the Mazikin, but the fellow Shechinim, isn't so bad either. Okay? So this, I think, is a very, very important issue and perspective. Okay, I have a couple of minutes left. Let me just finish up the bottom of the Gemara, because there are two interesting cases. Before I go on, any questions about this? Or we're good?
I just want to ask one question. If you have two partners in that chutzah and they're unequal partners,
right?
And you build that wall, tutfachim, this guy has to contribute, tutfachim, that, you know, whatever the width of the wall is, percentage-wise, that wall's going to eat more up of the little guy than the big guy, because he's got a bigger area, so his contribution is going to take up a smaller percentage property.
I mean, you're talking about, again, remember, just one second, let's make one thing clear. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Turin Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rama. Okay. Which means that it's equal. Oh, that's what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm asking that the contribution is going to take up a larger percentage of the smaller portions property than of the bigger portion, so he'll have less proportionally than the other guy will have.
Right.
So isn't that a consideration?
It seems not, according to the Rama, because it's still in his emphasis, it's in the prevention of Hezek. Each person has to do equally what he needs to do to prevent Hezek of the other fellow. But I think the Rosh Hashanah would agree with you 100%. I mean, I think that's the issue. Okay. Let's continue. So the Gemara says, Toshma, in Cholkin is a chotzer, you don't divide up a chotzer, Adshi hei bas dalet amos lezeh, dalet amos lezeh, unless each one is left after the chaluka with dalet amos of their own. That's a certain integrity size. But if each one does have dalet amos, when you split it up, cholkin. My la bekosel is the implication that you're cholkin bekosel, which would imply hezekriya. So the Gemara lo b'mesipas bi'alma, whatever that is. Mesipas is an argument. Does it mean like a see-through barrier, or does it mean just like something on the floor that designates the boundary, but isn't anything with any height? Okay, Toshma, hachalonos bein lamala bein lamata, windows, right? Whether they're up or down or high or low, ubein mekenegdon dalet amos. Right, you have to give dalet amos range, not to block anybody else. The Tanya la milamalon is kadesh lo yatzitz. Viyira, milamaton kadei shalom yamid viyira mikenegdon. These are all hezekriya. Kadei and mikenegdon is kadei shalom yapil. That's in terms of light. Anyways, it seems from here that we are concerned with hezekriya because we're worried about people gazing into the home of their neighbor. Says the Gemara, hezeka de bayis shiny. The hezek of a bias is different. So just like the Gemara said before, hezek de rabim shiny, if the mazikim are the rabim, that's worse. Everybody agrees hezek riesh mahezek. Here too, the Gemara says, hezek de bias shiny. If the victim isn't a bika or a gina or even a chotzer, But a bias, everybody agrees. Now, why is it that everybody agrees? So Rashi says, Hezekah Dabai Shani, Sha'odam Osa Bebeso Divrei Hatzneya. Because in the privacy of one's home, people conduct themselves, you know, in more private matters. However, I don't think you have to read the Gemara like Rashi at all. It goes back to what I said before. Are we only worried about, you know, the very obviously private conduct, you know, that should take a place only in the privacy of a home behind closed doors, etc.? Or is the makom itself, even in terms of comfort and the right of privacy, there's a hierarchy, just like I was talking about the difference between the neighbors and the Rishus HaRabim. Being exposed to Rishus HaRabim is different than being exposed to the neighbors, which is different than being exposed to Bnei HaBayis. So part of Hezekah, the bias shiny, is even if you're doing exactly the same things. And I believe that's the truth for quite a few Rishonim. Either way, the difference of Hezekah, the bias shiny, lahalacha, is something to think about. Meaning, clearly, the Gemara's Hava Mina was that Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek Alo Shema Hezek applies to Chatzer as well as bias, and the Gemara says that's not true. But once we pass in Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek in a Chatzer, does that mean that bias and Chatzer are the same? For example, if you think that there is a Chazaka LeHezek Riyah, at least in the case of a chalon, is there a difference between, if it's true in chatzer, is it true also in bias? Meaning, the issue that we discussed not today and not last week, but the week before, or 2 weeks before, the last time we met, which is, if you allow the fellow, you know, to have an opening, a window into your property, does he gain the right to keep it there? That's the question. Yesh chazaka lehezek riyah or in chazaka lehezek riyah? And that, as we know, is a massive machlokas harishonim. The Rif and the Ramban say there's never a chazaka lehezek riyah. And the Rimigash and the Rambam say there is chazaka lehezek riyah b'chalon, just not b'chatzer. For whatever reason, we're not going to go back into it. And there are some Rishonim who think that in principle there would be a chazaka lehezek riyah even in a chatzer. So what I'm asking is, let's say you take the more liberal view that yesh chazaka lehezek riyah, right? Whether it's only chalon or also chatzer, a wall of a chatzer. What would you say about a bias? Because we say shiny hezekah debayis, or hezekah debayis shiny. And especially if it doesn't only mean the most private things. It means that the venue, the location, the domain is a private one. So that is a very interesting issue to ponder in light of the things that we have been discussing. And finally, the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Gag, Samach L'Chatzer, Chaveiro. This is the Gemara that we saw already on Vamed Beis, on Zainud Beis. You have a Gag, which is Samach L'Chatzer, Chaveiro. You have a roof that looks into somebody's Chatzer. Osinlo maka gavod dalid amos. You're obligated to build a fence of dalid amos to preclude hezek riyah. What do we see? Hezek riyah shma hezek. Says the Gemara shani hasam. To amale balachotzer lebalagad ledidi kviali tashmishi. Ledidach lo kviali lach tashmishaseich. Velo yadana behei idna slikas. So the Gemara says that if the situation is that one party cannot protect himself from the other's invasion of his privacy because there's an unequal use of the two venues, right? I can never know when you're going to be looking. So I don't have the ability to protect myself. There, everybody agrees that Hezek Riyash may Hezek. Very interesting. In other words, part of Hezek Riyah Lo Shmei Hezek, maybe, is the ability, is based on the, if you hold Hezek Riyah Lo Shmei Hezek, is based on the ability of the Nizak to protect himself. Even though we say Alamazik Laharchik. But if you hold Hezek Riyah Lo Shmei Hezek, what we're saying is part of the story is the responsibility of the Nizak. But when that is not practical, then everybody agrees Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. Okay. Either way, this is the Gemara's conclusion. We're going to stop here. I want to pick up with the next Gemara. I'll send a Mar Makomos Mir Hashem next week. We're going to start. I'm going to skip because this part is repetitive. We're going to start from the two dots. B'mayu kimta l'masnisam b'she'em adin chaluka. Okay, we're going to discuss the problem of kinyan dvarim bialma a little bit, and kinyan chazaka, and a few other interesting issues. Okay, so we're going to start like towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, and I'll send in Mar Makomos Mirat Hashem next week.